From the beautiful Finger Lakes region of upstate New York, this is the Dental Lighthouse Podcast. We take questions from anyone in the dental profession and discuss what it takes to win not only in dentistry, but in life. Business, leadership, relationships, parenting, health and wellness, money management, nothing is off limits on the Dental Lighthouse Podcast. I'm Jason Tenori, your host, and have over 20 years of experience to pull from. Learn from my mistakes and let me help you collapse time so you can become the best version of yourself. Next on the Dental Lighthouse Podcast, we have Dr. Winston from the great state of Illinois, the city of Chicago. Winston, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure. How can I help you?
This past month, we've been having a teammate conflict, especially between my two assistants, that I haven't really experienced this level of bickering and gossip and just kind of toxic and negative energy before, especially from these two who they've been together for 3 years now. They're like brother and sister. Historically, you know, things have been so good between them. But it's just a breakdown this past month, a couple months in communication, and now they're snapping at each other. And, you know, they come to me and tell me the other isn't doing their job well, when I know full well that both of them are super hard workers. They're excellent at their jobs. They're always looking to learn and grow. And it's just really sad to see how the relationship has deteriorated. And I pull them in for one-on-ones, and I'm just not having productive conversations anymore. So I'm kind of, you know, confused how to play therapist and what my role is in this whole situation. How do I get past it, right?
That's a tough one, brother. And I have a couple more clarifying questions if it's not too much trouble. If I'm hearing you correctly, they've been with you for a decent amount of time, and they've always been, we'll call them A team players and good core value fits. So you've seen them exhibit the behavior that you expect and love before these more recent situations. Is that correct?
Correct. Like they've, you know, I think of it like a bank. They've deposited good deeds and great behavior for so long, and that bank has filled me up. All right. But this past month is just depleting the bank account. And I'm like, what is happening? These two amazing people are just, you know, it's like a total 180. And it's very, very strange for me.
I love that analogy. I've heard that before. I think it was John Maxwell. And I guess the question you need to ask is there still a positive balance on your account, right? Like, are we in the red? So, based on the fact that you're calling and based on the fact that, you know, there's a lot of curiosity and empathy in your voice, I'm assuming that there's still some money left in this bank account, and you're just trying to figure out a way to, you know, get the balance back up. Is that safe to say?
Yeah. I still feel for them, and I still care, and I still want them there. And I know they do too. I just don't know how to solve the issue between them.
Can you provide some context as to how these one-on-one conversations have gone over the last few weeks?
Yeah. You know, in the beginning, I just pull them in. I say, hey, I see what's going on between you two. Can you kind of elaborate about how you feel? And it's kind of like a freestyle vent session. And I don't think that was very productive. On my end, it was just a lot of negative energy spewing out, and from both sides, right?
Right.
So nothing but negative. And I tried to, the second time I had them in, I tried to have them focus on the positives. I said, hey, you know, you've been together so long. What are some things that you appreciate about this person? And that seemed to go better, but still didn't fix much. You know, they they actually came together at that second meeting and shared things that they appreciated. They hugged it out. Seemed like things were going well for a week, and then I checked in and seems like they're still bitter and bickering. So yeah.
Yeah. You know, Winston, I wish I could just turn to this chapter in the book and be like, okay, this is what we need to do, and this will fix it. The reality is that it's a lot of trial and error, and it's a lot of, well, have you tried this? Or maybe we should throw this against the wall. So I'll just throw out a couple of things that come to mind, and you know, maybe you've already tried them. Maybe you haven't.
I feel like, you know, coming from a dad standpoint, I'm not a dad, so I feel like this is a very dad situation, and I need dad advice, you know?
Yeah. I think there's some truth to that, to be 100% honest. So just based on some one-on-one coaching that you and I have actually done in the past, I know that you're a firm believer in the concept of winning, and someone that, you know, you want your team members to win. You want the business to win. You want to win. And like we've talked about in the past, winning can mean different things to different people. But really, at the end of the day, it's, you know, I love what I do. I feel like I have a sense of purpose in my job. I work with great people. What I do really matters. I get compensated well. You know, it takes care of those Maslow level one and two things with no question. But more importantly, starts to really hammer into those level three and four things. So if that's what you're preaching on a regular basis, and I suspect that it is, then I would sit these two people down and I would go over that again. And I would say something to the effect of it from the most vulnerable position that you possibly can. And I know that you're all about that is, mm-hmm. guys, this is killing me, right? I'm starting to resent working with both of you. I'm starting to resent situations where I know I'm going to have appointments with you. And it's so out of my comfort zone because we have such a great history together. You are two of my rock star anchor team members. You are who I want other people to emulate from a core value perspective. But, you know, there's something has occurred. Something has happened in the last 4 weeks or 6 weeks. And we really need to get to the bottom of it because the consequences of what's currently going on, it's cutting me and it's affecting my relationship with other team members. It's affecting my joy in delivering dentistry to patients. And I hate to say this, but I'm starting to harbor a level of resentment when I leave the office, and now I'm not winning, and now I'm not feeling a sense of joy and fulfillment with what I'm doing. And I really need to get this rectified, and I really need to have clarity on where is this rooted from? Where is it coming from? And what do the three of us need to do to right this ship? Because I cannot continue to go down this road, but at the same time, I cannot envision practicing without two of my best team members, historically, two of the best people that I've leaned on in tough times and in great times, and that have always been there for me. So with that backdrop, with that introduction, I would then say, let's try to get granular here and let's try to identify what one or two things either happened 6 weeks ago or whenever this started, or that you feel are continuing to happen on a regular basis that is allowing you to feel that this behavior is acceptable. And I would let one person talk and make sure that you set the stage where, you know, you and this other person that's listening, it's like, look, we're not trying to respond in the moment. We're going to be active, empathetic listeners. We're going to truly hear what this person has to say. We're not going to process an answer. once they're done talking, we'll think about it and then formulate a response. And the hope would be that it's one of a couple of things. Maybe it's something deep rooted that you have no awareness of. Now, I'm just throwing something out there. Maybe it's a guy. Like, I have no idea, right? Maybe it's something outside of work that they don't want to bring up that you are starting to unearth and unpack here. I hope it's not that, but it could be, right? You want to give them an opportunity to admit to that, if that's in fact the case. But it could be something more likely, like one person feels like they're working harder than the other person, or one person feels like there's a handful of tasks or roles or responsibilities that one person's no longer doing and the other person's having to take over. And with someone like you that's so good at listening and so good at rationalizing and reasoning with people, I would suspect that if you can unearth that, you'd be able to kind of set some guidelines in place where you say something to the effect of, okay, so it sounds like Mary has a lot of animosity because at the end of the day, she feels like she's taking on many more of the responsibilities than she traditionally has. And Jane is not doing what she typically does. There's not pulling her weight, so to speak. And that could be true. And we just had a situation like this happen in one of our other offices. But as you unearth that conversation, it was because Mary's doctor traditionally runs a little bit ahead of schedule. So at the end of the day, she's available, and Jane's doctor is traditionally a little bit later with their appointments. So Jane traditionally is 15 to 20 minutes late at the end of the day. So when you have one assistant that's 15 minutes early and another assistant that's 15 minutes late, by default, by the concept of teamwork, Mary's going to start doing many of these end of day or end of morning checklist tasks that Jane just can't do because she's chair side still with a patient and a doctor. So again, that's just one example of what I've seen, you know, where the 30,000 foot problem is she's not helping at the end of the day. But when you really get granular, when you really ask the right questions, when you really make sure that they understand that the consequences of this behavior is cutting you, then you can start to unearth some of these granular situations or problems. And then you're like, okay, now that I understand it, here's the reason that's happening, you know, like I just described, and here's what we can do about it. How does that land for you?
Yeah, that really rings true. And you know, since the expansion, I feel like, you know, things and emotions are just more cramped. Like there's no room for things to go. That makes, I think the energy is just kind of out of whack. Definitely an imbalance of work, related tasks. One assistant is in charge of all my Invisalign patients, and we've been doing quite a few now. So he's tied up, you know, delivering cases. He has his own column. And it may seem like all the other duties are now falling on the other assistant, like sterile, right? And cleaning up after sometimes, if he's getting into another patient, if he's running behind, maybe there's like a power imbalance or, just exactly what you described, right? I feel like they don't know the other person's, like world and what they're dealing with. And I guess we have negativity bias. So we just assume that, hey, if they're not helping with sterile, then they must not be working as hard.
Right. They believe that they're out in the parking lot smoking a cigarette. Right. I truly believe that they believe that. So when you have these transparent conversations about, like, I understand that this is how you feel. The reality is that Mary is doing this. She's not outside in the parking lot having a cigarette and a donut. How do we rectify this, right? How do we make sure that it's a little bit more balanced at the end of the day? And then the three of you or the assistant team of the office as a whole will have to unpack that. Maybe it's just making it aware, right? Oh, now that I know what's going on, I understand that this is how it has to be. Or maybe it's, you know, redistributing of tasks, or maybe it's okay with the expansion, we have enough profitability to bring on a part-time high school kid, sterilization tech, room turnover person at the end of the day to kind of help navigate that. So just being open to options, but most importantly, confirming that, look, you guys are two amazing people. We've built this place together. I cannot imagine practicing dentistry without the two of you by my side, but I do need you to understand the consequences of your behavior over the last 6 weeks has really hurt me. It's negatively affected me. It's starting to affect my home life. And if I wasn't going to do something about it, if I wasn't going to go into the storm on this, then shame on me, because I cannot continue to live this way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool, and, brother. That was a good one. We have Chuck from Houston, Texas. Chuck, welcome to the show. How can I help you?
Hey, thanks, Dr. Tenori, for having me. One of the things I've been kind of struggling with recently is just kind of like thinking about growth and trying to understand how to change the mindset about growth, because currently I'm at one practice. We expanded our office about almost a year ago now. So we have like 7 ops, room for 2 more. It's me at the office with 1.5 hygienists right now and a part-time associate. And I want to basically grow to a point where I'm utilizing the facility to the max and making sure that I'm using the capacity and reaching capacity. But at the same time, some stuff that holds me back are things like kind of worrying about profitability if I add an associate or if I add an extra hygiene, and just a worry that if I'm going to be able to keep them busy, or if I add an associate, you know, I don't want to like do all the work and then figure out and then realize that you know they're not productive enough and then end up kind of losing them.
So yeah, that's good questions. We can spend some time kind of unpacking that. First thing, and this may sound soft or it may sound too subjective, but you really need to have clarity with what you want long-term. And I don't mean long-term like 20 years. I mean, 3 years from now, what does the future Chuck look like in 3 years? And I would encourage you to really visualize it in great depth and answer a lot of questions about what it looks like in 3 years. Is it still one practice? Is it 9 fully equipped operatories? Is it you with 1 doctor, 2 doctors? How many hygiene? How many days clinically do you want to work? Yada, yada, yada. Like how much time do you want to spend clinically versus how much time do you want to spend in a CEO role? What do you want your personal income to be? Now, again, this visualization shouldn't be driven by money, but when some people struggle to visualize where they want to go, I always encourage them to at least think about the financial component and then reverse engineer it from there. So what do you want your personal income to be? Do you want it to be $1 million or do you want it to be $250,000? Because there's a drastic difference in what you need to make happen between both of those results. So I would encourage you to go through that exercise and put a timeline on it of 3 years. Once you do that with absolute clarity, then you can reverse engineer it and then you can set up a 12-month goal. Okay, if this is my goal in 36 months, then this needs to be my goal in 12 months. So that's the first thing I would encourage you to do. Now, if that 36-month visualization has you limited to one location, which is not good or bad, it is what it is. It's whatever your vision is. Then to be honest with you, Chuck, that's a blessing, because once you get into the multi-location game, it's hard to recover if things are not going well. But to go from a practice that you're describing currently of 7 ops, you as a provider, another 1.5 hygienists, to go to a 9-op practice that's maximizing capacity, maybe bring on another hygienist or associate, I have no doubt that you'll be successful with that. But worst case scenario, if you're not, it's so easy to recover from that. You hire an associate and after 3 months, you realize it's a bad fit. You let him go or her go. You bring on an additional hygienist and you realize that half the day they're not busy. You make changes. Those are very easy situations to recover from versus a second location or a $250,000 expansion of your current footprint. Those are much harder things to recover from. So the reason I'm saying that is if you, and I'm saying this in the most loving way possible, if your mindset is more of a scarcity mindset, realize that you don't need to have that mindset, because we're not talking about drastic changes here. We're talking about 7 ops to 9 ops. We're talking about 1 doctor to 2 doctor. So I would encourage you to have the mindset of, I'm going to kill this. Like, there's no way that I can't make this successful, because we're not talking about wholesale overhauling changes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, that makes sense so far.
Yep. So if that's the mindset, and I'm an engineer by training, I love looking at data, and I would encourage you to do the same. So if that's the mindset, then we could actually start to look at data to make some of these decisions. And let's use an associate as an example. How do we know when to bring on an associate? Well, a couple questions have to be asked. Are you going to continue to be full-time, say 4 days a week? If that's the case, and we know typically how many doctor exams, and by doctor exams, I mean comprehensive exams, periodic exams, emergency exams, that one doctor should take on before going through decision fatigue and exhaustion, typically 150 to 175, where are you at with that? And if you're way below that, then you're not ready for an associate if you plan on staying 4 days a week. So what do? We figure out ways to ramp up new patient flow so we can create demand for a particular provider. Now, if you decide that you want to go from 4 days to 3 days, then that becomes a little bit easier. And again, there's no right or wrong, but it always goes back to that visualization exercise of what do you want? If your 36-month goal is for you to have a full-time associate and you working 2 days a week, perfect, right? Then let's reverse engineer that and make that happen. If your goal is to stay full-time in 36 months and you really only want a part-time associate, perfect. Now that we have clarity, let's make that happen. And then we have to start to get into, how are we going to make sure that this associate is busy? Is it an avatar where they are skilled at procedures that you're currently referring out? If that's the case, then they're going to be busier right away. If it's someone that's going to be doing the same exact procedures that you do and enjoy, then it's going to take longer to ramp this person up. So again, that's more of a superficial kind of solution, and we can get into the weeds on the specifics, but use the data, exam numbers, procedures that you're currently doing versus referring out. And once you kind of dig into that information, the answer will become evident if you're ready for someone in the short term or long term, and how many days that you're ready for them to take on. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You know, so some of the stuff like I've already kind of thought about, and I know like that I don't want to be like full-time clinical, you know, so currently I'm already at like 3.5 and some Saturdays that we work. So that's how many days I'm working. And then we have the part-time associate a couple other days. But yeah, the goal, that's the goal. So I think the data part is what I was more kind of referring to, you know, and looking into the data part and seeing like how to decide that if I'm ready or not. But so yeah, you give me some answers on that.
Yeah, so two key points with a couple of things to think about from a doctor perspective. 150 to 175 total exams per month is the sweet spot. From a new patient perspective for doctors, if it's a bread and butter general dentistry PPO driven practice, it's usually 40 to 50 new patients per doctor per month. So if you're going to be working 4 days and you're looking for someone part-time, let's say 2 days, an additional person 2 days, and you said you already have an associate, then you just have to divvy up those numbers amongst who you have. So if you're 4 days, you already have someone that's 2 days, and you're looking for another person that's 2 days, you don't need a degree in calculus to know that you need about 80 new patients, 80 to 90 new patients per month. Now, again, that changes if you're doing procedures that are high end, where you only need, say, 10 to 15 new patients per month. So that's the math that you have to ultimately play around with. From a hygiene perspective, it comes down to a couple things. Are you typically seeing new patients in hygiene? And if, again, there's no right or wrong there. A lot of practices do it different ways. But if a majority of your new patients are coming through hygiene, and those are 90-minute blocks, where are the next 90-minute blocks? If they're further than 3 to 4 weeks out, and with my philosophy, you need to add hygiene time. If you can get 2 90-minute new patient appointments in tomorrow, and the reason you can get them in tomorrow is because those spots were never filled, you do not need additional hygiene time. So those are some of the metrics that you would look at. And when you put together a scorecard, you can start to track these things on a weekly basis. So one of your KPIs for a office scorecard could be, when is our next available new patient appointment in hygiene? And you might find that when you fill that scorecard out every week, it's 10 days, 12 days, 14 days. And every week that goes by, that number creeps up. When it gets to, say, 15 or 20 days, that's a cue for you. You know, we need to start interviewing here. We need to get somebody in here so new patients can get in within 2 to 3 weeks. That help, bud?
Yes. Yeah. So within 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah. So yeah, those are some good references to kind of go by.
So what I would encourage you to do is go through that visualization exercise, really have clarity. And I really want to make sure that you focus on this, because even when you were just describing it a few minutes ago, you're like, yeah, I think I want to do this. And it's got to be black and white. It's got to be, I'm going to work 3 days a week. I'm going to work 24 clinical hours a week. I want to make $375,000 in total per year as a clinician and as a CEO. Like, have absolute clarity with what you want, realizing that there's no right or wrong answer. It's just what you want. And when you can visualize your future self and your future business, it's so much easier to make decisions and so much easier to grind through it, knowing that when you get there, that's when you'll be really, really excited about what you've built. So, all right, buddy. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate the question. If you need anything else in the future, please don't hesitate to reach back out, okay?
That sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chuck. Thank you. That wraps up another episode of the Dental Lighthouse Podcast. You have a choice today. Choose to be a lighthouse. Lighthouses are powerful and steadfast. They are beacons of light for others to reference when life gets turbulent. Go out into the world today and become a lighthouse for someone. Give more than you get. True joy comes from serving others. Start today. I'm Jason Tenorio, your host. Thank you for listening to the Dental Lighthouse podcast. For more information, podcast show notes, or links to anything that we have discussed today, please check out our website, thedentallighthouse.com. We would love to hear from you. If you would like to get on the show, please email us at podcast@thedentallighthouse.com.